This is Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams.
Hello, welcome to Table Talk with former California State Fire Marshal Ronnie J. Coleman and your host, Michael Williams. Today we're referring to Chief's Clipboard 20 Years of Ronnie J. Coleman. Being an officer means more than a title, or better known as boss or buddy. Chief, welcome to the table.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
So what do you mean by boss or buddy, or your original title being an officer means more than a title? What are we talking about here?
Well, what I was referencing in this particular topic is the fact that when you take responsibility for being in charge of other people, such as being a lieutenant or a captain or battalion chief or whatever, that the title itself is not the job. The job is what you're required to do to protect the interest of the organization and to protect the interests of the people you're responsible for. The reason we came up with this title was that accepting that position means accepting some responsibilities. You can't be the boss and the buddy at the same time. You've got to be either one or the other. And what we were trying to allude to here is the fact that there's certain behaviors that you have to adopt once you become an officer that are maybe not just natural. There are things that don't just automatically happen. You got to remember that you're in charge, that you're responsible for what happens. You ever hear the term on my watch?
Yes.
Well, that's what on my watch means, is I'm the captain, this is my fire station, and I'm in charge.
Your pull quote here is, once a command officer assumes the position of mouthpiece for a superior, credibility is lowered, and subsequently so is the ability to take responsibility for what happens. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I'm saying is that one of the worst things you can do as an officer is to spend all of your time saying, well, we have to do this, but the reason we're doing this is because somebody else is making us do it. I'm talking about the fact that when you take and start explaining your authority by saying that you're only doing what you've been told, then pretty soon you don't have any authority. Everybody kind of says, well, that person's not really the one who's setting the bar here. They're not setting the expectations. In that particular column, I told a story about that I learned in the Marine Corps early on, that if you're an officer in charge of other people, you've got to make sure that your people believe that they are working for you, not some third party, some transparent thing at headquarters or whatever. They work for you.
Now, that's instilled into a Marine, because all the way down to a private could be in charge, and they bring that down to that level. Does that occur in the fire service, though?
In a way, it does, and in a way, it doesn't. A lot of this depends on the environment that's created in the firehouse. If the individuals that are sitting in the firehouse kind of regard everything as kind of, you know, Spanky's gang, and nobody's in charge, then you've got a real problem on your hands, because nobody really knows who's setting the direction. Nobody knows who's setting the expectations. I can point out that in various levels of activity within different departments, company officers and chief officers on a specific shift are the one who kind of set that bar. When we started alluding to the, are you a boss or are you a buddy, it's whenever an officer has to hesitate and start to think that whatever I'm about to say, people are liable to dislike me, then you're trying to be a buddy. If you begin to say to yourself, what I'm about to bring up, I can accept questions of why we're doing it, I can accept questions of how we're going to do it, but they do know that I'm setting the standard, then you're the boss.
Well, it must be difficult when you're in a living environment, and that's what kind of separates firefighters from so many other occupations. The only other one I can think of would be the railroad industry or the oil and gas industry, where people live together for extended, and of course the military. Suddenly you are going from rank and file, one of the doers, to one of the supervisors. That's a hard transition in some environments.
Well, I've heard this statement of company officers, neither fish nor fowl. And I say, well, if that's true, then what are you going to have for dinner? Which one are you going to get eaten as? The realization is that accepting responsibility for a superior position in the fire service is not a relinquishing of the fact that you got to be socially acceptable in your firehouse. Nobody ever says the boss is supposed to be rude. Nobody ever says the boss is supposed to be arrogant. Nobody ever said that the boss is supposed to be have bizarre behavior. We're saying that when you're the boss, you've got some accountability. You've got some responsibility.
Now, when we talk about supervision at the company level, this gets to be a little interesting in a single asset station where the captain is part of a three-person crew versus a four-person crew, mm-hmm. which means the captain is actually an operational personnel, not a supervisory personnel. That complicates things, does it not?
Well, it complicates it, but it doesn't necessarily make you exempt from it. And what I mean by that is just because there's a crew of three doesn't mean that everybody's equal. You know, if you went into combat in a military organization, they would have the same kind of phenomena. You're going to risk your life together. You're going to work together. You're going, and you could die together. So what we're trying to emphasize here is that this is not a question of being liked. It's a question of being respected. It's a question of understanding that there is a difference when you're an officer in charge of other human beings. You can't treat things as if you're going to vote on it. I used to joke about the fact that committees don't run fires.
No. Well, the other thing is that committees don't run organizations. The ones that are run by committees are destined for failure. Someone ultimately has to be in charge. And in a paramilitary organization like the vast majority of fire departments, that's the way it's got to be.
Well, what we're looking at here is this idea that when you look at a position, let's just use two positions specifically, the lieutenant and the captain within an organizational structure. Most of those people, regardless of their background and so forth, still have to function within a lifestyle environment in that firehouse, all right? And when that occurs, the thing that the officers got to recall and keep in their mind all the time is the fact that if something goes wrong, it's their fault. It's not anybody else's fault because they are the officer.
Now, this article, Being an Officer Means More Than a Title, originally appeared in 1993. This is one of those articles that just is good every day, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and will be good 100 years from now. What inspired you to write it?
It had to do with some experiences that I had while I was in the military of working with an officer in a very small organization. And the lesson that I learned from him was that he always felt that anytime we went on a mission, that we had to be loyal to him and he had to be loyal to us, but there was a difference. He was the lieutenant and we weren't. And it played itself out in terms of responsibility and communications. Mm-hmm. Now, how it was brought into the fire service was a discussion where someone came back from a staff meeting and proceeded to start telling everybody in the firehouse that some things were going to happen, and the only reason it happened is because the chief was going to make them do it. Well, that's the wrong approach. From my perspective, admitting to that admits to your people that you have no influence over that decision. Mm-hmm. You're just a mouthpiece. And once you're speaking for somebody else, then you are not fulfilling your obligation.
Now, many of our listeners to Table Talk are operating in stations that have more than one captain in them.
That's true.
You have two engines in a truck company, they're task force stations or what have you. How does that dynamics of that change? Because now you've got multiple leaders. Somebody's got to be in charge of the leaders.
Well, let's go back to a couple of real basic principles. Span of control, unity of command, you know, chain of command, et cetera. If you've got a multi-engine house, there ought to be some kind of protocol as to who is in charge. I remember back in my early days, we had a multi-engine house. There was a system of selection that was based upon the organization's desire that somebody be responsible for the house. We had a term called a station captain. The station captain was responsible, even if there were multiple company officers in that station.
I remember visiting with a chief in Vermont, and it's interesting how they were set up. It was actually four individual fire companies as incorporations. So there was four corporations under the umbrella of a parent organization, which was in this case a city. And so each apparatus was owned by an individual corporation. Mm-hmm. And then what the corporations, they each had their own president and their own chief. They, from those four, would then elect a station chief who is actually the fire chief. But it was rotational, so that chief would only serve as a fire chief for 2 years, and then he'd rotate back into the hierarchy of their own individual corporation. And the way they sent the calls out were very much like the way the ambulance service and tow truck business works on rotation. So each company would come up to the top of the list. That's the one that would respond, even though they were all individual volunteers. Now, if they needed more than one, then they would send two. But that made for a very interesting span and control problem, because the chief, the fire chief himself, who answered to the city council, was going to return back to the lowest ranks in the end of 2 years. Therefore, what kind of operation are they going to run where the fire chief has to be an adult versus being everybody's friend? It created a different environment. Now, the county for that same area, the fire chief had been around for decades, and he ran in a much more traditional format where he was the boss.
Well, what you're alluding to and which we're kind of referencing here is this whole idea of the culture inside the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I will give credit where credit's due, and that is the fire service is really good at being creative on coming up with ways of doing things. I don't want to say that there's a standard way of running a firehouse, but what I am saying here is that whoever's in charge of that firehouse has to perceive of themselves as being totally responsible for what happens within it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with accountability, this sense of ownership, the sense of pride in the organization, and so forth. What we're really characterizing here is that just giving somebody a title and putting them in the right seat of a piece of apparatus doesn't fulfill the obligation to run that house. That's where the captain's job comes in, the lieutenant's job comes in, is making the tough decisions, doing the planning, holding people accountable, making sure that things are done. One of the things that's humorous to me is I have a collection of old logbooks. I got a logbook out of the 1800s that was written in the New York Fire Department, where there were two officers on opposite shifts writing nasty notes about each other. One guy'd come in and write, well, Captain so-and-so once again failed to do such and such. And then the next day there'd be, and again, Captain so-and-so has failed to do such and such. The two of them didn't take any responsibility for what was going on their own shifts. All they did was blame somebody else for their problem. And that's the issue we're talking about table talk here. You're sitting around a fire station, there has to be this sense that the officer's in charge. You don't have to like your officer, but you do have to respect them. And if you're the officer, you don't have to necessarily be everybody's buddy, but you are responsible for them. Whatever happens in that firehouse rests on your shoulders.
Now, we take the transition from officer to chief. That's a much bigger step, because the chief is responsible for a much broader base of administrative and managerial tasks and perhaps may not respond on any operational fire type of situations. That's a different transition. How do you deal with that?
Well, my response to that is that once you step across that line of being out of the station environment and you start dealing with the organizational environment, that could start at the battalion chief level, or it could be all the way up to the fire chief level. But as you go up that ladder of success, so to speak, your responsibilities increase significantly. At some point in time, when you're the chief of department, you're responsible for everything that happens to your department. Now, don't get me wrong. People can still be singled out as, well, somebody did this or somebody did that. But what we're talking about here is setting expectations. That's what the span of control and chain of command is all about, is setting expectations. What happens in that firehouse? What happens on that fire department? Goes back to the acceptable or unacceptable behavior that the fire officer puts into place.
How do we start grooming people early on to start taking these kinds of positions? Because it's not suited for everybody, but there are people out there that you need for, if nothing else, sustainability of the organization. Where do we start training them, and what do they need to focus on?
My opinion starts in Rookie Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've witnessed thousands of firefighters going through rookie academies in which they're given a certain kind of expectation. And when that expectation has been created, it has to be followed through. Yeah, crew's leaving the house here, so we'll let them get out back on their apparatus. At any rate, the idea there is that it's not something that you infuse somebody with the day they make captain. It's not something you give them a shot on the day they make chief. They begin to cultivate that kind of sense of responsibility from day one. You know, we jokingly do things like we appoint academy fire chief, you know, academy commander, fire chief. A kid's 21 years old, and all of a sudden he's in charge of everybody. What does that really mean? Well, they got to understand that it's not the title. It's the behavior.
Right.
It's the behavior that they begin to emulate. This is where role models and mentors begin to come in. I personally have been mentored many times by people above me who would set me down and say, "Now you need to understand, Coleman, that this is your problem, not mine. And you're in charge of this. And so you do what you need to do to get this done."
So from a fire chief's point of view, and you're looking out amongst your ranks, what selection process do you find is most effective? And this is helpful for the guys that are interested in promoting up through the ranks. Looking at it from the top down, you say, okay, these are traits that I want to see in my captains, my officer ranks. What are you looking for?
I'll answer that two ways. Number one is I have my own personal expectations, and then there's another set that I kind of call professional expectations. I recently gave a class where I had about 150 chief officers in the room, and I asked them to define the four most desirable traits of a good officer. Four most desirable traits. And out of 100 people, we got over 100 traits. And there was no consensus, except for a couple of ones that were pretty clear. What do you think is the number one thing that people are expecting out of their officers?
Oh, I would think leadership and communication, somebody that has the kind of the take charge and is looking out for the good and the will of the group.
Well, I'll say that you're half right. The word leadership means a lot of things to people, mm-hmm. but communications only means one thing, and that is the ability to be able to take a thought process and get other people to understand it. Vertical and horizontal communications is one of the greatest skill sets for success in the fire service, the ability to take an idea and turn it into words that people can follow. I've seen a lot of other words that appear on this list of desirable traits: integrity, honesty, decision-making, fairness, humility, you know, blah, 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 blah. When I did this list in this class and I wrote out the 100 things that they had suggested, I then asked the group to sort it out and place some of these with a higher priority than others. And the one that floated to the top consistently was communications.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was at the very, very bottom of the list, in a lot of cases, varied according to the people's perspective on what they thought a good officer was all about.
Well, I remember being asked once, what is the most important characteristic of a police officer?
Mm-hmm.
And the response was compassion.
Yeah.
And that was not a word that I thought of at the time, compassion within law enforcement.
By the way, it was on the list of the fire officers too, but it was about midpoint. It wasn't at the top and it wasn't at the bottom, but it was very closely linked with the idea that people want their officers to care. They want them to be somebody who is really, really interested in taking care of their people.
So this is an interesting thing because we're really starting to get down into the personal characteristics of an individual as we look at them for promotion, not just what do they have on their certs and quals and their CICCS and their diplomas and their online training records and all of that. We're looking at something a lot more individually rated.
Well, I would characterize this as being something that's driven not by ideas but by behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I would submit that there are a lot of people out there right now that are probably sitting there listening to this and thinking of a captain or a company officer or a chief officer that fits into one of two categories: somebody they really, really respect and like, or somebody they don't like at all. And the reason I say that is that if you're thinking of someone right now, about someone you really, truly respect, ask yourself this question: why do you respect them? Is it because they're straightforward? Is it because they're honest? Is it because they got a lot of integrity? Is it because they're, you know, blah, blah, blah? And then reverse that question. If you're thinking about somebody that you're not too happy with, why is it you're not too happy with them?
Well, interesting is that I think that if people listening now were to make those two lines and you put the names of the individuals in those two categories, the person you really like and respect and admire, and the person you don't like, you don't respect and have no confidence in, come back at that list, put that in a shoebox or in your sock drawer or something, come back in 10 or 15 years and look at that list and see how many of those names have transposed themselves. And I think back in high school, the teachers that we look back on, and I'm sure it was the way in the military, and it was certainly that way in the police academy, the guys I looked at today versus I did 30 years ago were the ones that were always riding us, they were always on us, they were always pushing us, they were always going for the nitty-picky stuff, were actually the ones that were looking out for the most of our welfare.
One of my personal experiences was I got a lot of my basic orientation to some of these as a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. I was what they called a green bar. I
don't know, I'm familiar with that.
I don't even know if they use that anymore, but it was called a green bar. And I was sent to a place called Sietco Government Camp in Oklahoma. And our scoutmaster at that time was a American Airlines pilot. And he used to talk to us a lot about integrity and honesty and fairness and, you know, all these words. And we're going, yeah, you know, so what? Until we were put out on that farm, we were out there for like 3 days, and we had like 15 of us, and we had to organize ourselves. Remember the movie or that book one time that talked about the boys on the island? I can't remember the name of the book right as we're sitting here speaking, but it was kind of a science fiction thing about how people revert to certain types of behaviors when civilization is being removed from them. Well, that's what happened to us out at Sietco, is we were out there on our own. And we found that by listening carefully to what John Ketchings had told us about set the rules, live by the rules, you know, live up to your role, et cetera, it all kind of worked out. Mm-hmm. As I've proceeded through my fire service career, I find that the people that I've admired the most were not necessarily the easiest on me personally, but they were people who set expectations and then held you accountable for them.
All right. Well, we're up to the end of this segment. Any closing thoughts you have for our listeners on boss versus buddy?
Okay. Well, you know, we like to try to summarize these comments. And when I look at this phrase of boss or buddy, I am of the personal belief that you can't be both. You have to be one. And if you have to be one, be a boss who cares.
Well, very good. With that thought, we're at the end of this conversation of Table Talk. Until next time, let's be safe out there.
This has been Table Talk with Ronald J. Coleman and Michael S. Williams, produced and distributed by the Fire Services Training Institute. Production assistance by Mark A. Ward. Special thanks to Chief Michael Dyer and the Santa Barbara County Fire Department. Remember, train like your life depends on it, because it does.
Table Talk programming is intended for personal and organizational use only. Any duplication or commercial use is prohibited.